Jesus Christ, fully man and fully God. There's a famous painting of one of the old wagon trains of the American West. And in this painting, it's night. The wagons have been drawn into a circle for protection. The men are gathered around the campfire, and the wagon master has a map spread out. And on the map, a big black line traces the zigzag course that they've followed, a little to the north, a little to the south, but always heading west. However, an argument seems to have broken out between some of the men about which way to go next. But the leader, with grim determination, has placed one finger on the end of the black line, and with the other arm, he's pointing in a particular direction. And he seems to be saying, look, we may have to go south around the mountain or north across the river, but our overall direction will always be west. Well, that's a picture of the Christian life. It is not always easy. We encounter mountains and rivers blocking our way, trials, sacrifices, temptations, distractions, frustration, exhaustion, opposition, confusion. And all of those things do their best to make us swerve off course and lose our way. But the answer, according to Hebrews 12:2, is to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that is the key to keeping going in the right direction. He is our lodestar. And so the more we look to him, the less we stray from the path he has for us. And whenever mountains and rivers do get in the way, the more we look to him, the more we'll find that he guides our lives faithfully to keep going in the right direction. And not just that, fixing our eyes on him is also what fuels our joy and our hope and our peace. And so if you're lacking those things in this season, could it be because you need to refocus on Christ? And so in this episode now, we're going to focus our eyes on him by looking at his nature. In particular, the fact that he is both human and divine. That in the words of 1 Timothy 2:5, he is, quote, the man Christ Jesus. So let's think first about Jesus' human nature. And the headline here is that Jesus is fully human. First, he had a human body. In John 4:6, he's tired. In John 11:35, he cries. In John 19:28, he's thirsty. In Luke 23:26, he's so physically depleted and badly wounded that Simon of Cyrene has to carry the cross for him after his flogging. As Jesus put it to his disciples in Luke 24:39, after his resurrection, a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see I have. And in fact, Jesus still has a human body to this day, right now in heaven, as you're listening to this. A few verses later in Luke 24, it says, lifting up his hands, Jesus blessed his disciples. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And that'll be the same physical body with which he returns. Then, as well as having a human body, second, Jesus also had a human mind. Luke 2:52 says that as a child, he, quote, increased in wisdom. In other words, he went through the learning process that all children have to. He had to learn how to eat, and drink, and walk, and talk, and think, and so on. Then third, Jesus had human emotions. He's troubled in John 12:27. Before the crucifixion, he's sorrowful in Matthew 26:38. He marvels at the centurion's faith in Matthew 8:10. When his friend dies in John 11:35, he's gut-wrenched, he weeps. And yet, despite being fully human, he was actually different from the rest of us in one critical way, which was that he didn't sin, as many verses make clear. He was born without a sinful nature, as shown by the virgin birth, and throughout his life he was without sinful practice. He never committed sin. But lest we think he's the odd one out, he's not. It's all of us who are the odd ones out. He's the truest human who ever lived because God didn't create us to be sinful. He created us to be holy, as Jesus was. Adam and Eve were at their most human in the garden before they sinned. After that, of course, they were still human, but they had become flawed, defaced, blemished humans, unlike Jesus. So that's the first thing, Jesus' human nature. And then just before we come onto his divine nature, let's quickly ask, why does it matter? So what that Jesus was fully human? And there are multiple reasons. Here are just my top three. First, to represent us with his obedience. When I'm grumpy and snap at my boys, Jesus couldn't have presented his perfect patience to the Father in place of my impatience if he wasn't one of me, if he wasn't truly human like I am. It would have been comparing apples and oranges. But because he was a valid representative for me, because he was fully human, it was apples and apples. And we see this point in Romans 5, 18 and 19. So there's one reason, to represent us fairly, legitimately, with his obedience. Here's another. He was fully human so that he could be a substitute for us with his sacrifice. In other words, not only could Jesus not have taken my place and lived the life I should have lived if he wasn't also human, also he couldn't have died the death I should have died. He couldn't have died in my place and paid for my sin if he wasn't one of me. But again, he was a valid representative for me because he was fully human. And we see that point in Hebrews 2, 16 and 17. So our eternity hangs on him being fully human. It really matters. This isn't how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And his humanity doesn't just guarantee our eternity. It also changes our day-to-day lives now. Because here's just one more reason he had to be fully human, to sympathize with us in our humanity. Because he lived as a human and had the full experience, he knows what you're going through. He knows what it's like for you when you're tired, when you're lonely, when you're tempted, when you're frustrated. He knows what you're going through and he cares, and he will draw close and comfort you in those situations because he's been there himself. And one example of that truth would be Hebrews 2:18. Well, let's think now finally about his divine nature. Not only was he fully human, he was also fully divine. Each of us has a single nature, a human nature. By the same token, God the Father and God the Spirit also have a single nature, a divine nature. Jesus uniquely has two natures, human and divine. He was divine from eternity past, but then took on a human nature when he came to earth. As the Bible puts it, he took on flesh. Now, how do we know he had a divine nature? Two main reasons. Number one, because Scripture says it. John 1:1, Romans 9:5, Hebrews 1:8 explicitly use the word God, theos in Greek, referring to Jesus. Or think of all the times when the word Lord, kurios in Greek, is used of Jesus. Now, Lord sometimes means sir or master as a term of respect. Sometimes, though, it carries a divine sense, especially in the Old Testament, where God is often referred to as the Lord. And it's used of Jesus many times where the only meaning in the context could be divine. For example, Luke 1:43, Luke 2:11, and so on. Or think of the seven I am sayings in John's Gospel, where Jesus refers to himself with God's personal name from Exodus 3, I am, in Hebrew, Yahweh. Or think of his most common title for himself in the Gospels, Son of Man. That's a reference to Daniel 7, where we meet that figure, the Son of Man, who is clearly divine. Or think of Hebrews 1, which says that Jesus has, quote, the exact imprint of his Father's divine nature. So to anyone who ever says to you that the Bible never claims Jesus to be divine, clearly hasn't read the thing. But not only does Scripture say it, second and finally, Jesus displays it. And he does this by displaying divine attributes, abilities, qualities that only God has. For example, omnipotence. He's all-powerful. And we see in the Gospels his power over nature and sickness and demons and even death. Or another divine attribute is Jesus' omniscience. He's all-knowing. And we see in the Gospels his knowledge of what people are thinking, his knowledge of the far-off future. And in John 16:30, his disciples say, "You know all things," which Jesus accepts. Or another divine attribute is his omnipresence. He's unlimited in his presence. In Matthew 18:20, he says, "Wherever two or three come together in my name, there am I with you." Jesus was and is fully God. And so, just as we finish now, same question, so what? Why does this matter? Why is his deity necessary? And again, there are many answers here, just my top three, once again. Number one, being divine meant that Jesus could bear the full guilt and penalty of all of his people's sins. Because think about it, if he was only human and therefore finite, assuming he was sinless, he could only have dealt with one other person's sins in place of his own. Would have been a fair swap, one for one. But because he was divine, he had infinite capacity to take on guilt and the penalty of the countless millions of his people throughout history. For a second thing, it was only by being divine that he could be a valid mediator. Only someone who was fully God as well as fully man could bridge the gap between God and man. And we see that argument in 1 Timothy 2:5. If he was only fully human, he could have only represented us to God. If he was only divine, he could only have represented God to us. But he was both. And so we have a valid, fully effective mediator. The bridge between us and heaven stretches all the way. And then for a third and final thing, it was only by being fully divine that he could reveal to humankind what God is truly like. As with mediation, so with revelation, only someone who was fully both could do that. Only someone who was fully God and fully man could live among humans as one of them for years and let them get close and come to really know him. And then at the end of all of that time, say in the words of John 14:9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So let's praise God for this Jesus. Let's redouble our faith and our confidence in this Jesus. Let's allow our joy and our comfort to be fueled by this Jesus. Let's fix our eyes on this Jesus.